For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
It is episode 126, the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen. In Watkinsville and also 5 points in Athens. Chris Brame from the Home Team, David Johnston from the Morning Show. Last week was still February, right? So this is our first edition in March. We're already into month three of 2020. So we'll have a lot cranking up here. The NCAA basketball tournament just around the corner. Opening day for the Braves as we're recording this is 3 weeks from today. This Thursday, March 5th, when we're doing this, and the Braves open up on the 26th. Will Marcell Ozuna have a hit by then?
So all the money they spent on Ozuna and Hamels, they've got no hits and no outs.
Right, but
from either one of them.
They only spent $1 million on Felix Hernandez, and
he looks
like vintage King
rotation.
Felix. So
it's weird this year because they go from the Grapefruit League straight to the Cactus League because they go from Florida to Arizona.
Yeah,
they don't even come to Atlanta.
So they've got two series out west,
they
right?
Got the Padres after
that's
that.
That's right. Yeah. And then
they finally get to come back to Atlanta.
Well, they got
to
fix the field from the ice capades
right.
Appreciate you checking us out. As always, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can listen anytime on demand at 960theref.com, or you can download the all-new 960 The Ref app and get all of our on-demand programming there. You can also listen to The Ref live wherever you are, whenever you want, and stream Georgia sports programming within a 75-mile radius of Athens. You can also sound off the open mic feature. If anything is grinding your gears, even if it's not grinding your gears and you just have some point you want to make, you can by all means do that as well. So a lot of fun to be had at the 960 The Ref app. But yeah, so opening days around the corner, NCAA tournament getting cranked up. And as we're recording this, it is the day after Georgia played its home finale in hoops against Florida. There's one more regular season game left, and the Dogs, having lost to the Gators, have locked up that they'll be playing Wednesday of the SEC tournament. So there are at least two games left in the season, and it hit me last night at the end of that game watching it that it was the last home game of the season already. It's like the Anthony Edwards era has come and gone, and it's just flashed right by, and there wasn't much to it, was there?
Well, I mean, not as far as wins and losses, I guess. I mean, he's a terrific player. He's a freshman. I guess there are a lot more ups and downs with him, wouldn't you say, because he was the guy being counted on to carry the team as opposed to having maybe some more veterans. This is a very young team. Last night was a rough one to watch. That wasn't a whole lot of fun. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I love the dunk he had last night. It was great. You know, you see those flashes of that athleticism. But going to the tournament, you know, unless Georgia wins the SEC tournament, you know, I don't know. What are the Dogs? A number one seed for the CBI or something like that? I don't know. I don't know that they would play in that.
Yeah, would they even be a one seed in that?
I don't know. The NIT to me is, you know, someone said, well, you know, if he makes the Dogs attractive for the NIT if they can have a winning record. I'm like, the NIT is a bowl game. He ain't playing in the NIT if Georgia does make the NIT. That'd be like him playing in the Gator Bowl or something.
Yeah,
that,
he's got two games.
Happening.
He's got two games, maybe three games.
Yeah,
left.
Exactly. Yeah. He's got at least two.
Right.
That much we know. And I assume Georgia's locked in the 13 seed, right? They can't be the 14th.
No, I was trying to figure that. And I don't think they could be the 11th.
They're in a three-way tie with Missouri. Or they could be in a three-way tie with Missouri and
and Ole Miss.
And Ole Miss, and they lost to both of them.
Yeah.
So I would assume the tiebreaker would route them down to 13.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there's a chance at 12. I don't think they can be 11 and they can't get 14.
Yeah.
So they're either 12 or 13.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which would put them, I think, at like the first game next Wednesday night.
And, yeah, and I don't think they – can they be 11 even? Can they even be 12 because of the way
– That I don't know.
Because you got Missouri and Ole Miss have 6 wins and Georgia has 5.
No, you're right. If they – yeah, they're,
so
they'd
I think
lose
they're
a tiebreaker.
Locked into – yeah, they would lose a tiebreaker and then both of those teams beat them.
Yeah.
So, so I think they're locked into number 13.
Yeah, you're right. They are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, with all of that being said, you know, they do have as many top 25 wins this year as Tennessee, Bama, South Carolina, Florida. I mean, does that say anything or not? I don't know. Actually, that probably says more about the rest of the league than it does about Georgia.
Yeah, I'm just granted, this team was, I think, yes, better than its record. There were a bunch of close calls and losses. But at the end of the day now, as I pointed out a couple weeks ago, Georgia's locked in now to the two worst seasons of the Dennis Felton era. This season is as bad as any of his two worst seasons combined. And, you know, I look at, like, Buzz Williams shows up at Texas A&M, and they're 9-8 in the SEC this season. I mean, so they've already won more games in 1 year under him than Georgia has won in two seasons under Tom Crean. And it's all the excitement going into this with the Ant-Man, and he had a really good season. I mean, it's not that he was a bust or anything like that, and he's going to be one of the, you know, maybe the first pick of the draft. He's certainly going to go early overall, but it's strange how much fanfare and excitement there was, and, you know, in the aftermath of it, I mean, what was really like, is there going to be some signature moment that we're going to look back on fondly, like years from now, or at some point we'll be watched? Because I feel the same way with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, like, you know, he plays for the Lakers now. He might win an NBA championship, and you even think about the 2 years he spent here, and it's like you really don't even remember him being here.
I know, and he was here 2 years, and Edwards is going to be here one. Here's what I think of when I think of this season. The Dogs were playing Kentucky and played an awesome first half, had a lead. Kentucky still ends up hitting a three at the end of the first half to cut the Georgia lead to, like, six.
Yes.
And a lot of the Georgia guys were still in pump up the crowd mode.
But Trae Young was there.
Yeah.
Allegedly then, Bill Belichick was.
Yeah, Georgia ends up losing. And then I think it was the next, it may not have been the next game, I got to get the schedule out, but there was a game against Ole Miss where it just, like, Georgia's got this one in the bag. They're terrible. And Georgia ended up losing that Saturday game at home, and it just seemed like the season got sideways after that.
It was the Ole Miss game here, which was a couple. Yeah. It was a couple games later because Georgia then it lost at Auburn, had gotten blown out at Mississippi State, but beat Tennessee in there. But Ole Miss came to Athens; they were winless in the league at that point, and that felt like the moment. Like, all right, you lose at Auburn, you lose at Kentucky, and then even you lose on the road at Mississippi State. Like, you could still make something of the season. It was a rough start, but after losing that home game to Ole Miss, that was kind of when the balloon got popped.
Yeah, when it set in. And you're right, I misremembered where Georgia had gone to Auburn and gotten blown out, but they came home and beat Tennessee and then had that ugly loss to Mississippi State and then played pretty well at Kentucky and lost by 10 and then, yeah, came back and got beat by Ole Miss. That's the game where it just, to me, it seemed like, okay, this season is not going quite like we thought it was going to go. And then the next game was the 20-point lead in the second half against Missouri.
Yeah.
You know, and then two games later, the 22-point lead in the second half against Florida. And then there was the double-digit lead in the second half against Bama and then losing in overtime. So it's definitely been a season of what-ifs. But, you know, no one cares about that.
No. I mean, really, when you've got this – and granted, Edwards is younger than your typical freshman because he reclassified and really should be a senior in high school. So you got to factor that in there too. But it's not to say that he was a disappointment or a bust or anything like that. But I think, like, the fondest memory I'll have will go all the way back to that game in Maui against Michigan State when Georgia was down 4 touchdowns and cut it to 1 in the second half all of a sudden because he just got insanely hot. And that seemed to be that game, like, okay, this is what we're going to get, like, this season. And then
Then the next day he hit that shot to beat Chaminade.
Yeah, which was exciting, except
when it was Chaminade.
It was Chaminade. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, it's just that's the thing about Georgia basketball. It's you've got this, like, really, I mean, he's the biggest recruit Georgia signed and brought in here since Neek, I guess.
Yeah.
And just I mean, Georgia does have two more games left, but they're no more in Stegman Coliseum. And so his career in Athens, it just kind of came and went. And there's, I mean, I think a couple years from now, he'll be in the NBA and you'll barely remember, like, anything about the year he was here.
Yeah. Yeah. Glad he did it. Appreciate it. But yeah, you're right. It's flown by, and it's kind of weird the kind of season this turned out to be. Maybe next year the expectations won't be quite as high for what this team can do, and they'll surprise everybody.
Yeah, and maybe, I don't know.
Hopefully, you know, the portal's not going to mess everything
up
because I'm assuming still next month they're going to pass that legislation to let all these guys transfer without having to sit out a year. College basketball, there's going to be a ton of guys that are going to switch teams.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
already kind of like that anyway,
yeah,
isn't it?
But at least next month, anyone will be able to do it.
Yeah.
You won't get Luke Forded. You'll get your chance to go and not have to sit out.
Well, yeah, the one guy I'm curious about is Hammonds, because mm-hmm. his career has been so up and down from one game to the next, and you think, well, he is only a junior, he'll be back next season. And at times this year I was wondering, like, Willie, is he a lock to come back next season? I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's going to leave for the NBA or anything like that, but his career has been an odd one at times.
Yeah, and right now, what, he's Georgia's second leading scorer and I guess leading rebounder? So you look at his numbers, 13 points a game and 7 rebounds a game. He's been the number two guy for the Dogs, but I guess he's another one that was affected by expectations. Maybe, and this isn't a knock on him, I don't mean this in a bad way, but maybe he's just not as good as we thought he was going to be.
True. But
you know, that happens.
I think, like, what's weird about him is, like, how you get to that 13-point average is, like, he'll score 28 one game and then 0 the next.
And not just a 0 in the points. It seems like 0 all the way across the stat
sheet. There was that one game he took one shot and that was it.
It's just
strange. I don't
remember
which one, but
it really is. I agree with you on that one. But certainly if he came back for senior year, that would be great. It'd be his third year in Coach Crean's system. That would certainly benefit him and help the other guys too. I mean, losing Harris and Crump, I mean, they're certainly replaceable, but they were certainly experienced guys that, you know, that somebody's going to have to step up and take their place in the lineup. And Gresham, he was a transfer from Northeastern that he kind of did what you thought he was going to do.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone expected that he was going to come in and average 15 points and 8 assists or anything like that. And you know, even Wheeler beat him out.
I felt like he'd at least maybe be ahead of Wheeler.
Yeah,
but Wheeler's really good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, talking about the upside, I like Wheeler, and then I think Kamara's definitely got upside too. The freshman that will be around next year, where Edwards will be off into the NBA.
Yeah, so. What players are going to be playing in the, I don't know, conference tournaments and NCAA tournaments and NIT tournaments that might be playing for Georgia next year? We'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, it's what's crazy about this last week here in the SEC, though, is every team limping to the finish line. Kentucky loses.
This was a bad week for the conference.
Yeah, Auburn blows a big lead at home. They lose at home to Texas A&M. Bama, maybe if they were even on the bubble, they're not now. They lost at home to Vandy. You had Kentucky losing at home to Tennessee. LSU went on the road and lost to Arkansas. I guess that's not shameful or anything like that, but I think the SEC's got 4 getting in: Kentucky, Auburn, LSU, and Florida.
And Florida.
And the highest seed, I mean, it's going to be Kentucky. And what are they now? Maybe a 4?
Yeah, I saw them on the 3 line in Lenardi's latest, but that was on March 2nd, so they would have dropped
after losing
to Tennessee the other night. And yeah, I think right now it's a 4 bid league, unless like a Mississippi State or a South Carolina or a Bama or a Tennessee wins probably have someone like 3 games in the tournament.
Yeah,
to even start crawling back on the bubble watch list there. But yeah, the SEC is laden with several NIT teams right now. A few NCAA tournament teams and several NIT teams.
It's the opposite of last year when the league was loaded going into March. I mean, you had Kentucky, Tennessee, Auburn, and LSU were all, I thought, like legitimate Final Four material.
Yeah. And the thing, too, is that the SEC, you can tell how the league's going to be if they get a few good non-conference wins in November, December. Because once you get into January and February and, you know, early March, you still have a whole lot of chances to help your RPI or your net or whatever, your BPI. Because usually you're going to have to beat a Kentucky and then whichever teams are cycling in as the second, third, and fourth best teams. And you can't usually beat them because they're having good years. So it makes it even tougher to help yourself once conference play begins.
Yeah, what's wild is Georgia, you probably have to say, they had one of the better non-conference wins of anybody, winning at Memphis. I mean, Memphis ended up slipping as the year went on. I know they were in the top 10 at the time of that game, but Weissman was already gone.
Yeah.
But, I mean, after, you know, at Kentucky, I guess they did knock off, they beat Duke or Sparty or Kansas. They beat somebody at the first game of the year. They had a good win early on, but then they ended up losing at home to Evansville, and Evansville went 0-18 in their conference.
So think about that. That's never happened before, which obviously makes sense.
And
to beat a number one team and then go winless in your conference.
Yeah, and I know their Walter McCarty got fired, and they also lost one of their best players. He got hurt, and he came back toward the end of the season.
Still,
but still, they went 0-18.
They were good enough to beat a number one team. Yeah, at Rupp, and went 0-18 in the Missouri Valley or Ohio Valley. It's one of those valleys.
One of them, some valley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know. It's wild.
That might be the stat of the year.
Yeah. I saw they played a clip of, because I was watching the Kentucky-Tennessee game a couple days ago, and they played a clip of some reporter was asking Calipari, like last weekend, about losing to Evansville. And Calipari got kind of like, really? It's February 29th, and you're asking me about this game that happened on November 8th still. And he started pointing out, like three guys had the flu or something.
Yeah. Three of his own guys were sick.
Yeah. So, like, one guy didn't play, and a couple that did play had the flu. And so, but, yeah, well, here's – because they went 0-18 in their conference.
That's why you're being asked about them.
And you lost to them.
And a former player, not of his, but a former player for Kentucky was the coach.
Yeah.
And he's not now.
He is not any longer.
Yeah.
The Crossover Podcast is presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and in Five Points in Athens. Chris and Dave with you. Episode 126. We'll take a break, come back, and talk a little Georgia baseball. So the Dogs have one more non-conference weekend before getting league play cranked up. And it's a big start to the season there with a trip to Gainesville to take on the Gators, who appear back. They're undefeated, aren't they?
They are back, yes.
Yeah, so they're back after slipping a little bit last season, and maybe another Braves mention as well. Spring training, three more weeks before opening day. The Crossover Podcast, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, here on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
True Italian food has returned to Five Points and brought some friends along, because Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen is now open in Five Points, Athens. At the new Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, you'll find all your Italian favorites, from pizza to calzones and baked ziti, along with sandwiches, salads, wings, and more, plus a full bar for beer, wine, and cocktails. It's time to eat at the now open Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens, and also in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
Episode 126, Part 2, the Crossover Podcast, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, also Five Points in Athens. Chris and Dave with you as the Braves. It's spring training, three more weeks to go. Some of the highlights so far really seems to be Felix Hernandez and what he's done to, at least early on in the season, lock down a spot in the rotation, because the Braves only have like two off days in April, so they're going to have to go with a five-man rotation, and Cole Hamels is probably going to miss the whole month. So their pitching staff is a little bit beaten up, so good thing Hernandez has stepped up. And then, you know, you've had Freeman dealing with that inflamed elbow, but Marcelo Zuna, as we are recording this, is 0-13 this spring.
And it can't change because the Braves aren't playing today.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, by the time you download it, maybe he's gotten a hit. But as of right now, he is 0-13 with 7 strikeouts.
Is this the same guy that played for the Cardinals in the division series?
and delivered a dagger in the first game.
Yeah. So how do you look at it? That he's 0 for 13 with 7 strikeouts, or that it's spring training and, you know, he'll find his way? I mean, he is a veteran.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it that way, but, you know, at the same time, like, you know, how about mixing
how about a hit?
Hit or mixing in a non-strikeout at some point?
Exactly, yeah. Reach somehow.
He has walked once.
He's walked once, yes. Right? So he has reached.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So he knows where first base is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still drinking the Kool-Aid, but it's still 3 weeks away from the season opener. But, still at the same time, that is a little bit alarming that he's 0 for 13 in spring training.
Yeah, he'll be fine, but I never have I thought that he's going to I don't think he's not going to duplicate what Donaldson gave him in that cleanup spot last year behind Freeman, but I think he'll still be better than what the Braves had 2 seasons ago hitting behind Freddie, which was Markakis in that four hole.
Yeah. I was just looking to see what Ozuna's career numbers are
in the spring.
Yeah, just overall. So 272 batting average. You know, he averages 26 homers, 94 RBIs, or at least that's his 162 game average. So, I mean, how do you break that down into a, you know, so 20 homers and 85 RBIs? If he did that, would you be happy with that if he hit 272?
Yeah, that'd be fine, but still way below what, at least from the homer standpoint, below what Donaldson delivered last season.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Donaldson brought him in the clubhouse also. I think that helped a lot as well.
Yeah.
And he got off to a slow start.
Yeah, it wasn't really until June that he started raking.
Yeah. So if we're going to talk about Ozuna and his 0 for 13, I'll just hold off since Donaldson got off to a slow start last year. In fact, what is even more worrisome, and it's not worrisome, but it's like, who is going to take over at third? Are they going to have a platoon there with Riley and Camargo? Or are they going to let one guy get more of the at-bats? Or what are they going to end up doing? If Ozuna's not having a good start, suddenly do you see Riley back out in left field again? You know, what ends up happening with all of that?
Well, I think Ozuna stays in left because they are
paying
him all that dough. And then Riley and Camargo... Riley's having a pretty good spring so far, and that's how it felt all along, was Camargo and Riley would duke it out this spring for the for that third base job. But it's not like, and that'd be a weird spot to have a platoon anyway, but it's not like one guy's a right-hander and one guy's a lefty.
Right.
So you assume the Braves would like to just have one of those guys basically be the everyday third baseman.
Yep. And I know that's exactly what they'd like to have happen. It would make it easier on him, too, if Ozuna were, you know, doing his thing.
Yeah.
Maybe he will. I mean, then you don't have to worry about anything else. Because as it goes right now, I mean, you're going to have Acuna in center or in right, depending on NCRT and the games he plays and that kind of thing, too. I'm always crazy about guys playing a bunch of different positions, but I think with Acuna, he can handle center field and right field for sure.
Yeah, he's a young enough guy. Probably he still likes playing baseball.
Yeah.
So the Braves will have either, you got Ozuna, Acuna, Markakis, then there's Duvall and Enciarte that figure in somehow in the outfield.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at 3 weeks from today.
Yeah, and that's the pitching rotation I still think is suspect because, you know, Soroka will be the top guy. You'll have Fried in there. Then you're okay, so Fultonevich. And then with Hamels being out, and it sounds like he might end up missing all of April. So, all right, Hernandez is looking good. But, you know, on one end, we'll ignore Ozuna's spring training stats, but love what Hernandez has done so far in the spring. And then, so who's the other guy? Is it Newcomb?
Probably Newcomb right now. He'd be the lefty replacing the lefty Hamels, I guess.
Yeah. So when you think about the rotation then, you've got a guy who spent all of last summer demoted to the minors, although he did end up pitching the fifth game of the division series, and then another guy who was demoted to the minors and then the bullpen last year is what the Braves will be rolling out there. And then a third guy in Hernandez who was, you know, basically just left for dead, and the Braves went, hey, will you come pitch for us for $1 million? And he went, sure.
No problem. And our buddy Bill Shank says, keep an eye out on Kyle Wright.
All right.
He's done a little something different with his delivery. He's only walked one so far this spring. So there may be something there with him.
Okay. Well, he did. His last, like the last month he had in Gwinnett last year was really good. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he made like three or four starts for the Braves last season, and they were all bad.
Well, he needs to fish or cut bait, you know?
Yeah.
This guy's a former number one pick.
I know. But he did. He had a good close to the season in AAA, so maybe that's something for him. And then I guess the other guy in the farm is Ian Anderson, the hot prospect pitcher.
Yeah.
Because the other two guys are both, what, outfielders, Waters and Pache?
Yeah. Those are the big ones. And I guess Ian Anderson will start over in Gwinnett. And I don't know what will happen with Waters and Pache, but they'll either be in Cobb County or Gwinnett County, one way or the other.
One of the two.
They're going to be in the Atlanta area.
Yeah. They won't be too far.
Yeah. But at some point, too, if you know, they've got all these prospects. I know they don't want to let them go, but if there's a chance to do something and you got to give up one or two of these prospects.
You need to.
The Braves window, you know how it is in sports. Unless you're the Patriots, your window doesn't stay open all the time.
I know.
It opens and shuts. And right now, the Braves window is open.
Like you realize, too, like, yes, Acuna and Albies are young, but, like, Freeman's 30 now.
Yeah.
He's not like one of these young guys.
Right.
He's 30 with elbow inflammation.
Yes.
He's old now.
He's an old man, especially on this roster.
Yeah.
He and Markakis.
Yeah, Markakis, Flowers, like, I guess.
Yeah, and maybe, I don't know, how old is D'Arnaud and... And I guess but he's not a veteran of the team.
Yeah, what's Ozuna's like, maybe 29 or 30? What is he?
He is. Well, he says for the 2019 season, he's listed as 28. So 29 years old.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know who doesn't have a weak pitching rotation? The Dogs. Hancock, Wilcox.
As you say that.
Yeah, uh-oh.
Coach Strickland said this morning that Hancock and Wilcox will pitch Friday and Saturday, and they're going to TBA the Sunday start.
Oh.
So see how things go. It may still be C.J. Smith, but they're going to TBA that one and just see how the weekend plays out.
Okay.
C.J.'s had trouble with his changeup.
Right.
And it's hurt him in what would this be his first three starts.
Yeah.
So they want to kind of see how things play out this weekend.
If it's not him, who do you think would
be
the next?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It would probably depend on who didn't pitch Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
I know that's, well, of course.
Well, there's no Tim Elliott this year.
Yeah, that's the problem. And Garrett Brown had looked good in his first couple of starts, and then this past week against Georgia Southern, he wasn't terrible, but it wasn't Tim Elliott. He's, like you said, he spoiled us. So I think they do have several candidates, and they might just want to see how things go this weekend before they decide what's going to happen, and they may end up sticking with CJ on Sunday. But you know, this is going to be our tough weekend coming up. They're going to play Sunday against UMass
at Foley,
Tuesday against Southern at North Augusta, Wednesday against Southern in Statesboro, and then Friday against Florida in Gainesville. So they're going to play four games in four different cities in a five day span.
Yeah.
So, and then then the team they got to play to finish it is number one, undefeated. It's like, are you talking about Tennessee? No, I'm talking about Florida. Although Tennessee is also undefeated.
Weren't they? They were last year too, though.
Yeah.
Heading into the league.
Yeah.
Like, have they played anyone?
They beat Longwood 28-2 the other day, or whatever it was. So sometimes it's the way you beat teams.
Yeah.
They were improved last year. You could see that. So. They may have a little something going, but yeah, Florida definitely has improved. And then, you know, the Dogs have to, deal with a tough road week. The coach said this morning they had an inspired practice yesterday since they got beat by Southern on Tuesday.
You didn't tell Coach, like, come on, that was an obvious letdown spot. You swept Tech.
I said, I know somebody who had Southern in that game.
You're not going to win them all. It's a long season.
11-2, though. That's a good start.
You know, but the other thing that might complicate things next week, too, and I know it's weather and it can constantly change, but, you know, we all have got our smartphones now with that weather app on it, and next Tuesday and Wednesday, it looks like there's more rain, so you have no idea if you're going to be able to play, if you're just going to be sitting around waiting to play, if you're going to start, stop, and that could just complicate things, too, next week for what's already,
I know.
Gearing up to go play the Gators in Gainesville.
Yeah. Yeah, Coach said they just went ahead and decided to play that game next Tuesday because they were kind of headed that direction anyway. And, all right, they know their team better than I do. And I'm not saying it's bad. It's just going to make for a tough week. And hopefully they'll be okay. But, yeah, it's just one of those things in college baseball. You're going to have a couple of weeks or back-to-back weeks where you got a bunch of games and you just got to get through it. Everybody has to deal with it. Unfortunately, in this case, it's on the road and it's against the number one team in the country. By the way, when we're in Augusta next week, Chris, I'm going to have to do a little scouting just to make sure Augusta National looks okay. Not that I'll be able to see it.
Right.
But you're starting to hear, like, weird things about the Masters with the coronavirus.
Yeah, like being like,
but would they
canceled.
Have the tournament without anybody there?
Oh, yeah. Because they're doing that in Europe.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I don't know that it's going to come to that or not, but it's just kind of weird to think that, you know, we're starting to see sporting events being isolated. Would the Masters, one of the biggest sporting events in the world, would they do that? Well, here's the thing. They would if they felt like they had to.
They would do that above canceling it.
I would think so, yeah.
They would, if like...
But if you won the Masters and nobody saw it, would that count?
Well, it'd be on TV still.
But if there was no one there to jeer or cheer.
Yeah, well, maybe this is the one like Kuchar could win then. Nobody's there to watch it.
I mean, that would be weird, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, there'd be no one there to yell Baba Booey after a shot.
But you only get to do that once at the Masters, and then you're gone.
Then you're out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're usually a little bit more well-behaved, the patrons. So, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of strange.
Yeah, because that's a sporting event where, you know, you take it for granted because it's just down the road in Augusta, right. But that's...
And the thing, too, is it's an international sporting event, well, and you got a lot of people coming there from the part of the world where this is really a huge, huge deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal here, but it's a huge deal in parts of Asia.
Yeah, that's what you kind of lose sight of. It's in Augusta, but like just a bunch of people from Georgia go to that, right? No, that's not how it is.
No.
But yeah, I would think if there were options to like still play it but not have patrons, like they would have no problem doing that.
I mean, I would think the Green Jackets over there, they don't want a bunch of, I don't know, they want a bunch of photos of people standing in the galleries wearing masks and stuff. I don't know
how that
would look. What about the golfers were wearing? You might have some golfers wearing masks.
Yeah,
I don't know that they want that.
No,
is this the Masters or is this Quincy?
Yeah.
I can't tell.
You don't need any of that.
Yeah, I know. When did Jack Klugman come back from the grave?
Well, like the one on with Amen Corner, when you get to the tee box at 13, there's never anyone around there anyway. Like,
yeah,
there's
you
really
can't get over there.
The 13th hole, there's really no one on it.
Not on the left side of it. It's all up the right side.
Yeah.
But and even that tee box is in number 12 green. They cozy up to Augusta Country Club, which Augusta National supposedly is buying up parts of that so they can extend
like
that tee
lengthen
box.
It. And then the green is kind of, there's no one around it either.
Right.
Once you get to the 13th
green.
Once you get to
the 13th green, yeah, all the patrons in the gallery is basically where the camera angle is.
Yeah. So you just pretend like you're playing in that hole.
Well, they
could
just play that one hole the whole time.
Yeah.
Everybody plays that hole 13 times or 18 times.
Well, that's what you need to just go and book around at the Augusta Country Club and then try and sneak a peek through it.
I guess so. Yeah. I guess so. I'll be definitely very curious to see how that plays out.
All right. Appreciate you downloading us and checking us out again this week. We'll be back next week. I guess we'll have to figure something out with next week because you will be on the road.
Next Thursday I will be in transit to Gaines, Vegas.
Yeah. But we'll have something for you because we'll have conference tournament action and all that. So, again, subscribe on iTunes. Listen anytime on demand at 960theref.com or download. That's the easiest way now. Get the 960 The Ref app. If you have an iPhone, you can find it in the App Store. If you are on Android, find it in Google Play. Thanks to Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, our sponsor. You can find them in Watkinsville and in Five Points. For Dave, I'm Chris. This has been the Crossover Podcast, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen here on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.